from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. You got me, Kevin Hagelin. You got Corey Majors. You have the famous... Mike Bacsik and Reginald Atitula asking the questions that matter. Do people messing with your eyeballs freak you out?
No.
Okay.
I wish I could do what Eric Chiafalo has done.
Yeah, because their vision's LASIK. Amazing now.
But I
you don't
just
like your glasses?
I can't. I'd rather have the vision I used to have, but I cannot have lasers on my eyeballs. I have to be totally asleep. Like they'd have to, and I don't think they can do the surgery.
Yeah, because you have to prop your eyes up. No,
I'm already done talking
about okay,
it. Is it really lasers or is it a knife? Do they use a knife?
It's not a knife. All right.
With a nice serrated
edge. No, stop it. You're freaking Mike out. Like, stop doing that. The whole point of that commercial is how easy it is to do
it's
that.
More of a laser knife, like a lightsaber.
What are you two doing?
Oh, a laser knife is like a lightsaber.
Let's play cut number one.
You trust Jedis?
I do. Well, the Rangers are better than
they
you.
They trusted Anakin.
And everybody you know. Cut number one, please.
The 0-2, and this one is slugged up the alley in right center field. This one will hit high off the wall. That's a home run. It hit the top portion of the wall, bounces back into center field, but as has been the case for the last few years, you just need to get it above that front wall. So Josh Smith slugs his 8th home run of the year and gives Texas the early 1-0 lead.
Not, but perhaps he should be all-star Josh Smith getting work done. The Texas Rangers win their 5th straight ball game, ladies and gentlemen.
Congratulations to them, man. That's a great this is a great accomplishment. I'm not joking about this.
Okay.
It sounds like I'm joking about this. I'm not. They needed this. They look confident, and I'll be very honest. It feels like the Adolis home run is the thing that makes me go, that's my team again. That's back to what my expectation of this team is, that if they're in a tight game like this, that guy gets up to the plate. I know he was hitting some hard line drives yesterday. He was hitting the ball hard, and he finally got that moment for him after, Kevin, what you said was a mental day.
I mean, that's what Boach said, and I was curious. Mike, I pitched this out to Corey before the show started. I don't know if I'll ask Boachy this or not, but I know home runs count the same regardless of who hits them, and a win is a win, but does it feel any more uplifting that Adolis was the guy who hit the game-winning home run, especially since just the day before he needed a mental day off?
Yes and no.
Okay.
Yes, because they know they need Adolis to be good to great to make this run late the second half of the season to make the playoffs. No, in that a win is a win. So if it would have came from Derek Hill.
Still the same.
You'd have still felt like at the end of the day, we won 5-4. You've won 5 in a row. You're shaking hands every day. You're celebrating in the clubhouse every day, and you're feeling great. But then, yes, going back to yes, is you know that Adolis, nothing against Derek Hill, is more important than Derek Hill because he's going to be batting in the heart of your lineup the rest of the season, and you need that guy to produce the Adolis Garcia that we saw last year.
This is coming at a time that the lead up to these two series, the Angel series and the Astros series, you heard so many people from the Rangers saying, I don't know exactly what I wanted to hear. Like, I realize none of them are going to come out and be like, yeah, we're probably done. But Bruce Bochy, for example, is like, we know we got to get out there, make up some ground. But our guys have bounced back before. They lost the first series, came back and swept a very good team. And then you go to Eovaldi. We've got to go. This is a big week for us, and I don't think it's too late for a turnaround. And then I love Andrew Heaney, who remembers responsible for the quote of, well, we probably just need to win more games, which is spot on. But also he goes, winning 1 out of 3 in a series, that's not going to cut it. Even 2 out of 3 right now feels like we're barely climbing out. So we need to win a lot of games. And I think we're starting to turn the corner a bit. And so you hear people saying the right things in terms of, like, even Andrew Heaney's like, it's not just winning the series. Like, if we could sweep some series, that would be great. And obviously you saw what happened in the last series. You've seen what's happened to the start of this series. Heck of a way to put together your win streak.
Yeah, I also, Mike, with Max Scherzer on the mound last night, didn't hear anything about soreness after he came off. He goes out there, maybe the numbers, like you would have liked a zero, you know, on the board.
Can I tell you something about that,
strikeouts?
Though? I okay, yes.
Everything looked good, though.
But one of the things that I did think was pretty positive, and Mike, you've told us about, like, I might be simplifying this too much, but there are days when you go out there and you're like, oh my God, I got my stuff. There's days where you're like, meh. And then there's days you're like, I don't got it. Scherzer, after they had scored 4 runs, I realized only 3 were earned. In the first 4 innings, I was like, ooh. And I think it was 3 after the first 3 innings. Same kind of logic. And to see him get almost 7. Through 7 yeah. innings, I realized he didn't quite finish that out. And you need a Leclerc to come in, but to get that far in the game, I thought felt like a positive thing.
Yeah, and he might be dealing with maybe dead arm at this point because most guys have gotten through that. Usually sometimes in the month of May, you go through a little bit of a period where your arm is fatigued. It's not hurt. And now you have no atmosphere in L.A. There's, I don't know, maybe 20,000 people. I don't have the
attendance. That might be the attendance, but man, doesn't it look like there's like 10 to 12,000 people out there.
So you have that. And so, you know, you don't know what his energy levels were at, but he didn't walk anybody. 95 pitches, 70 strikes in 6 2/3. He threw 20 out of 27 first pitch strikes. So I do like what I saw. And it does go back to what Bochy and I believe Chris Young said when he was coming back, we don't need him to be the Max Scherzer of Cy Young. We'd love for that, but
sure,
they don't need that. They just need him to consistently take the ball every 5th game and give them an opportunity to win. And I felt like last night he battled, didn't have the best stuff. I don't know how far away that is, though, from the stuff that he has at this point in his career.
I get you.
But he battled, and like you said, he didn't allow, because just think if he would have allowed a few free base runners before those hits.
Oh, yeah.
Now you're in big trouble. So I thought he did a good job of limiting the damage early in the game and then worked his way into the 7th inning.
Because 23, by the way, is what they had. They said they had last night. 23,000.
My ass. You saw that ballpark just like I did. There is no way in hell there was anywhere near 23,000 people there.
That was like 2017 Maverick sellout streak.
Yes.
I'm in the building. There's literally 5,000 to 7,000 seats available.
Exactly. Right. And you said Chris Young or Boch was like, hey, we don't need him to be the Cy Young Max Scherzer. But you just brought up a really interesting point. I mean, a pretty strong argument can be made that that person does not exist anymore. Like,
probably not. Like, in
for a long haul.
I know it's a country song. I'm not as good as I once was.
Yeah.
Is like every once in a while we might see that Scherzer in a game, and he's going to possibly have to do that after the All-Star break. You play Baltimore. You know, against those teams when you play Seattle in the second half or Houston, his next start is against Houston. Hopefully he bounces back and is able to execute a few more pitches because, yes, I will agree with the people who say it's just the Angels. I don't care. I don't care if you beat the Angels 90 times and lose 72 times to every other team. You still made the playoffs.
Yeah.
And so I look at it and go, all right, Houston's going to be a little bit of a tougher lineup. The Angels aren't as good of a lineup. I totally get it. But he was able to battle and get outs when he needed. And so he's going to have to do that against a Houston Astros team who, you know, you're catching, but they obviously, after a 7-19 start, have played a lot better baseball.
Yeah, they have. And we got to play better than them.
I mean, I definitely agree with that. I wanted to go back. I know we've spotlighted him a couple of times, but the number was Wyatt Langford's hitting .325 since June 1st. Now, I realize that was 2 days ago, and since then he's gone 2 of 8. So it's dipped a little bit. But one of the things that Boach talked about last week is the positioning of getting the barrel on the ball. He talked about that when we talked about Nate Lowe. You could talk about it with Wyatt, Tavares, any number of players. You can look at the scores. You can say, hey, we scored 5 runs and then 9 and 13 and all of that. It does feel like they're making better contact. Obviously, me saying that without having these specific numbers to back it up. It does feel like they're making better contact.
And I don't know how to explain what that difference is, Mike, other than Bochy was kind of explaining you're getting out in front of the ball a little bit more, and that's where the barrel's meeting the ball. So hearing him say that, it just feels like it was a timing issue, especially on the fastball specifically. So hearing him say that, I'm kind of curious what mechanics they work through. And what it took, was it just maybe the team was still a little fatigued from the World Series run and they needed to reboot a little bit?
For Wyatt Langford's mechanics?
Well, for all the hitters that are starting to barrel up a little bit better.
I do know specifically for Wyatt Langford's mechanics. Okay. I know what they were working on. One, they wanted to look at his stuff at Florida. And then two, they were noticing that he was getting a little bit bent over maybe too much at the waist.
Okay.
So if you think about your shoulders going too far over your toes and your butt getting away from you a little bit, they wanted him to keep his butt underneath him and stay a little bit taller.
Okay.
So that was one of the major mechanics that they were trying to switch with Wyatt Langford. I don't know.
Because you're off balance on any pitch if you're like that. Yeah.
But I do know specifically one of the things he is working on. There could have been a few other things, but they wanted him, if you just think he was just getting a little bit too head over toes, and which causes a little bit too much of a dippy swing. And I know that people want uppercut swings now, not everybody, but he was getting too much. And that's why you saw lazy pop-ups to right field or to the second baseman. So they wanted him to get a little bit more taller when he was batting. And so he's been able to do that. He still at times makes mistakes. Yesterday he had to just chop the crap out of the ball into home plate. And you know, when he does that, hell, he beats out 33% of them. So you're like, well, I guess if he swings bad but chops it into the ground so hard, he still has a chance of getting a hit because of his speed. In fact, I wonder if yesterday they didn't get a good review in time, because one of them, it was really close. And then when they did show the replay, he was out by just a couple inches. But it seemed like Boach was frustrated and so was Will Venable, that it was almost like the back in the booth, whoever the replay guy is, was almost like, I don't have enough time to give you a good answer here. But yeah, Wyatt Langford, I was just looking on the end of May. So going into June 1st, he was hitting .222 with a .573 OPS. Right now he's batting .270. That's 48 points higher from June 1st. And he has a .742 OPS, which is 169 points higher than what he was starting off June 1st
with. And it's trending up as we go. Like, for example, using kind of that idea, .309 batting average in June, .345 in July. Now, I realize you're not quite even...
Only 29.
Yeah. But the OPS, if you're more focused on that, .894 OPS, you'll take that. And it's up to .963. this month. So it does feel like it's trending in the right direction, which is great news. On the flip side, I guess maybe some people missed this, and I think it was last week. I see a few people asking about Evan Carter. I believe it was last week that Boach said it's safe to say Evan Carter won't be back until after the All-Star break.
Oh, really?
So, I mean, look.
There's only four games left.
Exactly. But
I don't think he's, I mean, my,
even
I don't know.
Then feels like,
I don't know if he's going to be ready for that Friday Baltimore game after the All-Star break.
And we can certainly ask Boach about that today, but it's been a slow return. Obviously, you keep waiting for Josh Jung as well. It feels like at this point, with the team rolling, you should just take these next four games, because obviously then you're going to get another 4 days after that of rest.
And then you can get Josh Jung back in the lineup and finally get the fire in your team you've been begging for.
I hope that is the case. And I saw some people going, oh, what about Josh Smith? The Rangers have made it very clear. Boach made it very clear last week. He's staying in the lineup as long as he's hitting anything like this. A couple things that he brought up is
roving infielder.
Yeah, actually, pretty much, because he was like, well, look, when Josh Jung comes back, he's not going to play third base every single day. There's been discussions about Mike asked. I can't remember if you asked about Seager, like strictly as a DH, but essentially he was
that he would kind of maybe move to DH two days a week.
And he exactly.
Was like, yeah. To keep him healthy.
And so that would facilitate for people that are worried about Josh Smith. Like
Smith played two games at third a week.
Yeah.
Two games at short a week. There's four games, and he DHs one game.
So there's your five
games.
So
now he's played five out of six games.
Yeah, exactly. So for people that are concerned about that, that's one of the great things that Boach has said to us many, many times. With your bat going like that, you'll stay in the lineup.
Yeah,
like they'll figure out a way.
Yes, exactly.
And the Texas Rangers now have the longest winning streak in Major League Baseball, just for right now, not ever. And they're only 5.5 back of Seattle.
There you go.
They're only 5.5 back of Seattle, which I realize is still a tall mountain to overcome, or a hill if you prefer. But seeing as how dire it felt just, a week ago, this is a wild improvement. And it feels like, for the first time, I'm not going to lie, for the first time in a while, it feels like maybe you have a shot. I know maybe the math said you had a shot before, but it feels like it's been a while since the Rangers have really had like positive momentum. Yes.
Life.
I mean, like a shot is cool and everything, but just seeing life makes you feel better about what you're watching, what you want to be attached to, like any kind of life like that. If you have a team that looks like they're going out there every time and they're just like, I don't know, I'm just laying down on my way to the plate right now.
Oh my gosh.
Then yeah, that's what I was feeling, was they were just dragging their bat up to the plate and they're like, that's it, guys. I don't know. I'm out, I guess.
Sounded like Clay Thompson at the very, very beginning of the presser yesterday. I know it changed after that. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 Through the Fan. Coming up next, the best defensive lineman in the NFL. Plus, which football bet is crazier? We'll do it next right here in the Fan.
Second 11, high snap, pulls it down. Looking. Parsons coming. Parsons.
That means he got the sack. KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. We got Bruce Bochy coming up on the show in about 2 hours. But right now, the best defensive lineman in all of the land of football. Defensive tackles, or we can go with pass rushers, or you can give your opinion on which is the crazier football bet.
Let's go through the list.
Would you like defensive tackles or edge?
Let's go.
I just watched this morning. I finished up the 1996 regular season game between the 49ers in San Francisco, where it was like really slippery versus the Dallas Cowboys. So I don't know if he's going to be number one, but Dana Stubblefield should be.
This is contemporary top 10 in the league right now.
Is he out of the
defensive
league?
Defensive teams.
Brian Young's out,
that
too.
That game was 28 years ago.
Couldn't hack it in the league, huh?
Broderick Thomas had a nice game.
Not what I'm saying at all.
So you're thinking he can, or?
Ready for a comeback, huh?
If you're wondering what I do before I go to sleep and when I wake up, I'm watching old Dallas Cowboy games. I'm like, I remember when I used to like this organization.
Even the ones we lost, but it's like one that we were in a high-leverage game that really mattered.
Yeah, maybe I'll talk on Mike Likes It, how Dion was a horrible wide receiver.
I actually would enjoy hearing that. Would you like to start?
Go edge.
Okay. Who do you think is the best edge rusher in all of football. And why did I play his highlight to come back?
Crap. You played? Did you play a Micah Parsons highlight?
Maybe.
He said it like Brad Sham said his name 42 yeah. times in the highlight.
Parsons.
Did you say
Parsons?
Why did I?
Yeah. Or was that a trick?
Well, did Myles Garrett win Defensive Player of the Year?
No, I was going with Myles Garrett.
He never wins Defensive Player of the Year.
Who won it?
Just go with Myles Garrett.
Yes. The answer is Myles Garrett.
Why were you trying to trick us?
I mean, but here's the thing.
Are you a goose or a
duck?
Well,
hold on.
What is that supposed
next guess is Ben Grief. He also went to Arlington Martin.
Ben Grief? Uh-huh, uh-huh. And also, am I trying to trick you? If I tell you, I might be trying to trick you.
Yes. It's just psychological warfare. We know your game, Kevin.
You do it all the time. You say, one of them is on the list.
But that's always true. That is always true when I say it.
Until it's not.
Kevin, why are you gaslighting us?
Yeah.
Stop that. Yeah. I know what you're doing right
Stop
now.
Stop it with the zeitgeist.
No.
False.
If somebody says that to you, just walk out of that conversation. From one NFL coordinator said about Myles Garrett, that. If you don't double team him, he's going to effing kill you.
Oh, wow.
That's strong.
He's from Texas.
That is it. Okay. Who do you think is next on the list of edge
Vander
rushers?
Esch, obviously, he's giving us a hint.
It's not Leighton
Eschmeyer.
It's Evan not Eschmeyer. Evan Eschmeyer either.
God, I forgot about him.
Who even knows who that is?
He was on the Mavs. He is white. He is blonde-headed, and he was on the Mavs. That's the positive.
He was a sturdier version of Sean Bradley.
I feel like his hairline in his 20s look like mine, too, where it's like holding on, but you're like, come on, dude.
So it wasn't Micah last time.
That's true. Last year, Micah was 3.
I mean, J.J. Watt could be up there.
T.J.?
T.J. Watt.
I'll go with T.J. Watt.
One of them Watts.
Because you saw that picture of J.J. Watt looking all jacked and stuff.
Maybe where was he driving his golf cart to work out? Like, he just got back on his golf cart.
Wherever the hell he wants to.
I think to drink beer in the 70s, from what I understand on his
Yes. Commercial. Actually, I have seen those commercials.
I'll go with brother T.J.
I don't know. T.J. Watt is number 2.
He's JJ's brother.
I know. I just don't know.
What?
Yes. TJ Watt, number 2 on the list.
I'll do what?
Thank you, Jerry and Mike.
It is 10:26. I cannot make it through this show
at this
pace. Did you ever
think that Mike and Jerry Jones would team up on you like that? No. Nobody did. So TJ Watt was on the list?
Man, I number 2. I have a joke that would probably get me in a lot of trouble. Who do you think is next?
Micah or Bosa?
Which Micah. Bosa?
Micah?
Joey. Nick. It has to be Nick.
Nick, not nobody likes Joey.
Joey Bosa plays like 4 games a year, man. But those 4 games are good.
Remember what we learned about the name Joey, Kevin?
That is true. Can't succeed, I guess. Micah Parsons is in fact 3rd on the list. Here's the interesting thing. He was 3rd last year. Highest ranking he got by any of the coaches, GMs, scouts, etc., was number 1. The lowest ranking, 7. It is fascinating to me that, like, regardless of if he shows up in the playoffs or not, which so far he hasn't, that you would put him down as 7th in terms of pass rusher, because he's usually at the top of the chart in pass rush win rate, and 7 definitely seems low to me, but the overall average, 3rd.
Okay.
Hey, isn't there a dude for the Raiders who's good, but who cares because it's the Raiders?
Max with Max 2 Crosby. X's, Crosby.
That is correct.
What was his nickname there?
You think I was watching Raiders football?
What did you just say?
Max with 2 X's.
Oh, okay. All right.
I was just specifying the spelling just in
case.
I'm
really glad that you did, because I was thinking that as well. So Nick Bosa is in fact 4. Max with 2 X's Crosby is 5. Can you guys get any of the rest of the top 10?
I pulled up stats. I hadn't done it till now. I didn't realize that Khalil Mack had 17 sacks for the Chargers last year. So he's probably going to be in the top 10.
You would think that, wouldn't you? However, he comes in as the top honorable mention, which is also confusing to me, because they added he became the 41st player to surpass 100 sacks in an NFL career. And he just had 17. And they're like, that's pretty good.
He had, I'm looking at his stats. He had 57 tackles. I'm not, Micah Parsons is better. I'm not trying to say that. Okay. Micah Parsons is better. But look at these just stats. Khalil Mack, 57 tackles to Micah Parsons, 36. Khalil Mack, 17 sacks to Micah Parsons, 14. Pass deflected, Khalil Mack, 10. Micah Parsons, 2. Forced fumbles, Khalil Mack, 5. Micah Parsons, 1. Does that make sense that he wouldn't be on the top 10 list if I just compared just stats, not watching the game, but just stats of what Khalil Mack accomplished last year?
I'm going to give you another player. I totally hear what you're saying. The one for me, though, is the one who made the top 10 instead of Khalil Mack, Brian Burns. Man, I feel like there's a lot of reputation.
From Carolina? Yeah, oh, I guess, did he get traded?
Now he's with New York,
yeah,
but
that's right.
Correct. In his career, he has had one season with double-digit sacks. And that was not this last year, where he had 8 and Khalil Mack had 17. And people were like, no, Khalil Mack, you don't make it. So the rest of the top 10.
Aiden Hutchinson seems to needs to be on there. Trey Hendrickson, Brian Burns.
I mean, Brian Burns, like I said, is on there.
Yeah.
I disagree. I do not think he should be on there. Aiden Hutchinson, 6. Danielle Hunter, 7. Josh Hines Allen.
Yeah.
We learned about that yesterday.
Yaha.
Is number 8.
I think that you found the nickname.
Trey Hendrickson is number 9. And Brian Burns is, in fact, number 10.
Charles Haley?
No. These are current active NFL players.
Much, in the game this morning against the
49ers. But you wouldn't rule him out of that list.
Shante Carver celebrated a few times, but he didn't do anything.
Yeah, I think I would rule him out of the list, Kevin, because he's not playing right now.
How have you not mentioned Lawrence Taylor? You know?
Facts.
He is retired by 96.
So Mike has put together this list if you're active or not in 96. Real quick, I'm going to try to make this speedy. Here are the top 10 defensive tackles. Chris Jones.
He's good.
Quinnen Williams.
Yeah.
Dexter Lawrence.
Very good.
Jeffrey. What about Dexter Coakley?
I think not eligible.
Did he play in that game?
For this list?
I don't think so.
Was he? I don't think 96. I don't know his rookie year, but I don't think he's on the team yet.
Jeffrey Simmons or Simons, if you're fancy, at 4. Justin Matabuke at number 5. Christian Wilkins, 6. Derek Brown, 7. DeForest Buckner, 8. Kenny Clark, 9. And Javon Hargrave, number 10. So they're your top 10 per ESPN. And remember, ESPN does this every summer. They get about 80 voters, and they're players, analysts, GM, scouts. It feels like they get a
lot of people.
Yes, they get a good.
Probably too many people.
But this is one instance, Corey, what I would argue. This is a good number of too many
it's the right
experts.
People.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because all these GMs know what they're doing.
Well, okay. You got me there. So from here tomorrow, you'll get safeties and then the next day tight ends.
All right. I'll help Woodson. You out here. Marquez Pope, P-O-P-E, very physical corner. Played safety, but had to play corner against the Cowboys this morning in the 1996 regular season game. Very physical player.
Well, we'll find out tomorrow if he made the cut. Spoiler, he did not.
What? You just said we'll find out tomorrow.
I haven't even seen the list. I can just tell you with absolute certainty.
He was number 23.
All right, we'll have to keep, yeah.
He also wore very big shoulder pads. Uh-huh.
They all did, yeah.
They all wore very big shoulder pads.
Second round pick in the 92 draft.
Oh, great. Well, why is that relevant?
Mm-hmm.
Well, because he played this morning.
Just wanted to get more information.
It shows, yeah, I mean, we know that the higher you were picked, the more likely you are to be on these lists.
Very slippery grass.
Hey.
Cowboys won in overtime this morning.
What was the final score?
20-17.
That is correct.
Lynn Elliott, was he the guy who kicked the...
Ooh.
I forget. John Jett was the punter for us. We punted a lot.
That's such a cool punter name.
John Jett.
Yeah.
Oh, it was Chris Bonio.
Chris Bonio, yeah. Old Boney. Or Boner, one other.
Okay, all right.
You can call him either one.
Which one of these football bets do you think is the worst idea?
Oh,
I've got two options for you.
That Herschel Walker will turn around the Minnesota
Vikings. You
know what?
Vikings. And I knew you were going to say that because Herschel Walker was actually our punt returner.
Yeah, he's also a fullback, too, in the game.
I feel like if you want to bet on that game, it's a bad bet if you're betting
against
Mike.
You should win.
He knows what happens.
Bet the overs on Steve Young. I think we're going to concuss him at some point.
All right. Would you rather be the person who put $250 on Sam Darnold to win NFL MVP.
What?
I'm out.
Hold on, wait till you hit the other
one. Minnesota?
I'd rather bet on Steve Young.
Does it matter what team, Corey?
No. He's just to be...
At this point, if you told me, or take Matt Leinart, I believe it's a 50-50 proposition.
Okay, that is inaccurate, but... That would pay out $75,000.
I thought you were going to say $75
million. For how much money?
For $250.
It should pay out $750 million.
All right. And then there's this. Or would you rather... See, so you think this is a bad bet, right?
Yeah.
Well, what about the person who bet $31,000 on the Raiders to win the Super Bowl?
Better bet.
That would pay out $2.48 million. Now, remember,
Aiden O'Connell, huh?
The Raiders have not even made the Super Bowl since 02. And they didn't.
What about conference championship?
I don't remember.
Your face.
Obviously, it's been...
You don't know all the Raiders stuff.
Am I correct? Is Aiden O'Connell, as a kid, tried to trade me like an Aiden O'Connell card on Saturday? Is he their real quarterback?
It's either him or Gardner Minshew.
Yeah.
And they're not good options.
Whatever. You can bet. Whatever. Just make the odds. If I was Vegas, I'd make the odds. You get $1 billion if they win the Super Bowl.
Kevin, I think this is a push. I don't know which one's worse.
You think it's a push?
Yeah, these are both bad.
All right. So, but
I will say this. At least, Aiden O'Connell does.
That one person only bet $250. This dude bets $31,000.
Sam Darnold has Justin Jefferson to throw to. You know, at least he has
Justin Jefferson would win the MVP then.
Why did they do this for $31,000?
Because it would win $2.5 million.
My
possibility.
Yeah, my possibilities. Like, you just gave Vegas $31,000.
I don't know.
I'll bet on the Oakland Athletics to win the World Series this year.
Derek White will be replacing Kawhi Leonard, Kevin.
Okay.
On the Team USA basketball.
Kawhi Leonard's left the United States.
No, he left Team USA. I don't know that he's left the United States.
And that brought Jared Sandler to say that Josh Smith has a better batting average, on base, slugging, and OPS than Derek White. Mm-hmm. He also has more homers and RBIs.
Okay.
This is ridiculous.
I see what he's doing
there. It's starting to get a little ridiculous.
I'm excited to see who Kawhi's going to play for in the Olympics.
I just want to reiterate, he's not saying he's defecting or anything like that. He's just not on the national team.
You're also not saying that.
I don't know. Kawhi is an unpredictable human being. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan.
Predictably get hurt.
Coming up next, it's time for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bacsik.
All right, let's talk about the Rangers next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or draft pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
2-2 the count. Here comes Yates. And that's in there for a called third strike. Fastball on the outside corner. Adell goes down on strikes. Yates picks up his 14th save of the season, and the Rangers have their first five-game winning streak in 2024.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan from the 817. Hello, boys. Driving it from Denver to Dallas today. Tolo all the way. And then from the 817, I'm pretty sure Kevin is just going to walk out one day and never come back.
Why?
Because watch what I have for baseball now.
Oh, no. It's Tom.
Oh, man,
my
this
God.
Actually might be the
it's
one.
It's Tom for Baseball Nuggets with Mike Bassett.
All right. Tennis is like baseball. There's a ball and two sticks. I'm watching the Wimbledon Open.
You watching Fritzy?
Okay. The championships, Wimbledon.
So does Italian food make you better at tennis? Because there's carbs? Another Italian Pasta? In the quarterfinals, and I feel like I've seen a lot of Italian flags in this Wimbledon thing.
Huh. I don't know that to be the case, but I cannot dispute
but
it.
But maybe Reggie's right. Maybe you're all carb loaded up.
I was watching this thing on Netflix. It was on Running Fast called Sprint.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Oh, yeah. Is that good? I
saw the first two episodes. It's good in this way. It gets me... Now, I should know the names better. There's one dude from Italy who won the Olympic gold when there was nobody watching.
Oh,
okay.
And he did it. He won it. But obviously, during this episode, they make it very fluky because he's never really won anything and never won anything after that. He does have the Olympic gold medal. He's made a lot of money off of it.
Yeah.
I'm assuming he's qualified for the Olympics because he's in Italy. Who else is going to race him, you know?
Uh-huh.
But he looks like on the circuit or whatever, at least they make him out to be, he either drops out of races because he says he's always hurt to not lose again.
Okay.
Or when he does run in this one, he finished well behind the dude who won the 100 and also is a 200 winner from the United States. I'm sorry, I'm forgetting his name.
Are you talking about Marcel Jacobs, the Italian?
Yes, he was the gold medal winner.
Yes.
Who is the guy who's our best runner for the United States in the 100?
Are you talking about Noah Lyles?
Noah Lyles, yes. And so you get to know these guys a little bit on that. And then you got to know the second episode is about the women, the one from Richardson. She's not from Richardson. Sorry, she's from Dallas. But
Richardson?
Did she go to Carter or Kimball?
Ooh, crap. I feel like I should know that.
I feel like
and
she
I
went
don't
to Carter
say,
or
I don't
Kimball,
say the wrong
but I'm forgetting
either.
Which one. But then you get to know the Jamaican she's running against. And so... As the Olympics are getting close, I think it's a good show to watch to get to know these runners for the Olympics. Now, my next baseball nugget question is, do you think these tennis players like when the grass is dead at the end of Wimbledon or like it better at the start of Wimbledon where there's more grass? Because they're really playing on dirt in a lot of the areas they're playing on.
So I always felt like it maybe depended on how fast or slow you were. Like the faster you were, the bigger your serve was. Maybe you liked it earlier in Wimbledon. But that's an interesting question.
I just wonder if they have better traction that the grass is kind of gone. And so I don't know if they get worse traction or better traction when the grass is that dead.
Do you think the groundskeepers are sad because they're like, we work like super hard on this and then
I guess
it's
they've
done.
Known for 100 years now. There's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
They can just have it as beautiful as possible until the tournament gets close to starting and then they just know it just gets worse and worse. What's amazing to me is where the kid is, where, you know, he's out of bounds or whatever, just waiting for a guy to not make the serve correctly.
Yeah.
He's killed the grass too.
Yeah,
like, how did he kill the grass?
Yeah. That those kids run a lot. By the way, it's Carter. Multiple people are saying
Carter.
Richardson
thank you.
Is from
I
Carter.
Couldn't remember, but yeah.
It's like whenever we were playing wiffle ball in the backyard, you know, there was a pitcher spot and there was a hitter spot.
Yeah.
And it was always, most in my backyard, is always the left side because no left-handed hitters in my backyard.
Or it, whoa.
We didn't, just didn't have it.
Or if you ever put bases down or even like what you can, like a frisbee is a base, and sometimes you could see that part of the grass, you're like, well, there's where second base goes because we always put the frisbee there.
Somewhere over there in the dirt.
Yeah.
Okay, so now my next baseball nugget. I hope you're enjoying these baseball nuggets brought to you by nobody.
I personally like tennis, so.
So I'm looking at the standings. I was looking at it after the Rangers won yesterday. You mentioned them in the first segment. The Rangers are now only 5.5 games back of Seattle and only 3.5 games back of Houston. So it is a big game tonight again because you'd love to beat the Angels. The other thing, too, is the Mariners close against the Angels. So the Angels are playing very bad baseball of late. They're 2-8 in their last 10.
Okay. So you got to think the
you're
Mariners
just going to have to assume that the Mariners are going to win 3 of 4, let's say. Okay. So this is a big game to win because the Mariners get to close out on a very easy stretch like the Rangers do. Like, this is great that you're playing the Angels and you're taking advantage of it, and you need to win again tonight to sweep this one and go to Houston with being back either 3.5 or being back 2.5.
Okay. And I promise I heard what you just said, Mike. I was going to say, if you did sweep the Angels and so you had won 6 straight, but then you go 1-2 against the Astros, do you still have like a decent amount of hope because you still broke off, you know, 7 of your last 9? Or are you like, man, that's the team that I really needed to beat?
Okay. So in a weird way, it matters how you lose those 2 games.
Okay.
I don't want to lose these games at all. Sure. But almost if you lose these games 7-6, they're like, I don't care. We scored, like, I'm not saying I don't care. We scored 6 runs.
Yes.
The offense is still looking like the offense we thought we had this year. But if you go and you lose these games 3-1, 2-0, and then you win a game 2-1, you're like, okay, we did win one. It all counts the same. It doesn't matter how many runs you score or whatever. It matters if you win or lose. But I would feel better if the offense kept rolling into the All-Star break and didn't go to Houston and then just score 5 runs in 3 games total.
Instead,
if you score 15 runs in those 3 games and you lose 2 of them, I'd say, man, the offense, though, this is something that looks like is coming around and starting to become consistent. But I was looking at there's articles coming out obviously on who's going to be trading. And when you look at the standings, you can say that there's not a lot of teams that can say we are completely out of it and we are ready to trade. But you know, there's 2 teams in the National League that are completely out of it and ready to trade if they have anything people want: the Marlins and the Rockies. Those are the 2 teams that are completely out of it. The Marlins are 27 games back, and the Rockies are 23 games back of their division. They're completely out of it. But when I click on here, the wild card standings in the National League, here's where it's tough. The Nationals are the 3rd worst team in the National League.
Very young team.
They're
a
young team, so they don't really have much to trade if you wanted anything, and they're only 5.5 games out of the last wild card spot. So they're a young and upcoming team. They're playing better baseball, so I don't think the Nationals are willing to trade. Now, the Cubs aren't close to winning their division, but they're only 4.5 games out of the last wild card spot. So just to give you an idea, those are the 2 teams that are next to the Marlins and Rockies. So they're probably not that excited to trade right now and give up on, gosh, if we do what the Rangers do and we go on a 5-game winning streak, we could find ourselves 2 games back of the last wild card spot. So I don't think that there's many teams in the National League at the All-Star break that you could call up and make a deal with.
Okay, interesting. Do you like that from the perspective of maybe it doesn't kill the trade deadline or anything like that, but it waters down the trade deadline maybe a little bit, but it also has more teams like, hey, I'm trying to win.
I think it's good for baseball, but maybe what would be better for baseball, and this has been discussed before, and they're still not going to do it, because remember, there's a drop dead date. There used to be, if you clear through waivers, you have another month of trading.
Yeah.
Is maybe they move it back to like August 10th.
Okay.
And you give more teams a chance to drop out of the race or to have a better idea if they're going to be in the race. Now, then at your trade deadline, those guys don't have as big an impact on your team because they're probably missing 2 weeks of your season that teams are waiting to see. But maybe more teams would go, okay, we really do have a better idea. It doesn't restrict you from trading today. It doesn't restrict you from trading July 30th. But if a team like the Cubs who are 43-49, or the Rangers, who are 44-48. They might have a better idea on August 7th if they're in or out rather than July 30th, because when I go to the American League, and I'll be done here, really the White Sox, the Athletics, and the Angels are 100% out.
Yeah.
And then the Blue Jays probably are, but the tough part there is you read articles on if their general manager, Ross Atkins, if they're out of it after building to this point, then he's probably going to lose. There's a good chance he loses his job. So then it's like, if you give up, like, do you have the security that you're trading Vladimir Guerrero Jr., possibly Bo Bichette, possibly like Gausman, a pitcher, possibly Barrios, a pitcher, and you get back assets that can help you 2 to 3 years from now?
Are you
going
to be?
Are you the general manager who's going to see that? Or do you have to, if you have a feeling you're going to get fired, do you ride out Vladdy Jr. and Bo Bichette going, I don't want to trade them because if they can make a run at a wild card spot, I maybe keep my job. If I trade these guys and end up going 20 games under 500 or worse,
yeah,
do I lose my job?
Interesting. I mean, that makes a lot of sense. With a KNC masterpiece right here on 105.3 The Fan. Coming up next, questions now that NBA free agency is essentially over. We'll do it right here on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.